Coming up over the next hour, some Easter reflections from the Jewish end of town. We're going to be meeting some environmentally aware Buddhists and looking ahead to the 500th birthday of the Protestant Reformation, a religious event that we have to thank for many things today, including, weirdly, secularism. Secularism was a religious invention. How does that work? Stay with me. Also, some great music on the way, but before we get to any of that, Rachel Conn, you know Rachel from RN's The Spirit of Things, Rachel's just back from Tasmania, where she was having a look at some churches and parishes that had been dying out, but have now been brought back from the brink by enabler-supported ministries, also known as ESM, but really, you could just call it good old people power. Here's Rachel with the story.
Oh my gosh, what astonishing windows. These are just beautiful. Do they date from the early
time? They do. Our church is 191, as you know, and some of the windows, especially the one up the front, part of that window and one of the others over the side here, were sent out from England.
The windows of Tasmania's oldest church, St. Matthew's Anglican Church in New Norfolk, are a sign of early prosperity in the Apple Isle that would later disappear in many of its small towns. I've gone to visit two of them, New Norfolk and Signet, with the Reverend James Collins, who oversaw a new program that helped churches find new life when they were at death's door.
So, James, we've arrived in beautiful downtown Signet.
On this glorious sunshiny morning, isn't it? Just adorable.
Well, this is a beautiful park that we're walking through. That's in front of St. Mark's Church, and I've just walked under a plum tree with fruit all over the ground.
We're in what used to be the heartland of the Apple Isle, as it was in days of yore. But when the European Union decided not to take Tasmania's Granny Smiths any longer, all those orchards got ripped out. And so the population of this part of Tasmania went into a steep decline. And so that really impacted on communities where banks and shops and all those things which held community together, schools, were in terminal decline. And that, of course, impacted on churches, which in the classical model where a church has a priest with a stipend, people have to pay for that. And there just weren't enough people to do that. And so here in Signet, what classically happens is one parish gets amalgamated with another to try and make up the stipend, and then that doesn't work. And so we've got parishes in Tasmania that have been amalgamated up to 3, 4, 5, 6, up to 10 times. And so people began to think, how else might we sustain a living Christian presence in communities? And there was a rediscovery of a theology of the importance of baptism, that all those who are baptized into Christ are made members of his body and are able to exercise ministry in the community and to care for others.
Isn't that the priesthood of all believers?
That's
Isn't
what
that
it's all
the basic
about.
Protestant contribution to Christianity?
It is at the heart of that. And so that's for the whole body of Christ, who people who here in Signet can be artists or farmers or handy people, all sorts of people who had a sense of God's calling on them to love this beautiful community and to serve it. And so St. Mark's was going through that classical decline phase. And in the early 2000s, we developed what was called enabler-supported ministry, or some people call it collaborative ministry. And a team was formed out of that. That team exercised the role of leadership within the parish, along with others who sort of got a real renewed sense of what church might be in the community, about serving others, so caring for the poor and needy. Yes, running folk festivals and doing all that, and witnessing to God's love for all people by being a place where everyone's welcome and where everyone gets cared for and none are excluded. And it was just a very powerful, powerful witness of God's love.
We'd had a situation where we'd had something like 6 different rectors in 5 years. So one thing that we've had ever since we've moved into ESM is stability, but also the principle that the resources for ministry are contained within the church has enabled many people to actually experience their own role in the church life. And so that's been certainly invigorating.
And how did your life change as a consequence of ESM?
My life changed because it led me into being ordained and the continual process of being more and more engaged with the Bible, with church life. So, yes, it's been a transformation for sure.
John Middleton, originally from Sydney, came to Tasmania to farm, but in later life was encouraged to become a priest and serve in St. Mark's Anglican Church Signet. Not everyone took to enabler-supported ministry right away, like Celia Hooker at St. Matthew's Anglican Church in New Norfolk.
Hated the thought of it. Really did. I thought that after having many, many years of worshipping in our parish with a parish priest, I wondered how we were going to cope. We had a lot of time of preparation prior to becoming the Enabler Supported Ministry, which was official on the 14th of February in 2001. That was when we had our first Enabler Supported priest ordained, who happened to be a woman.
Well, you're wearing a collar, so a lot must have changed in your life.
Yes. 3 years ago, I was ordained. A late bloomer, a very late bloomer. Yeah, after I retired from work, I became ordained, and it's been an exciting time, a very, very busy time in my life.
So Celia, and I should call you Reverend Celia.
Oh, I think Celia will be fine.
What sort of effect did the ESM model of ministry have on the community and on the church's relationship to the community?
I think where you have a parish priest, you have one person going into the community. We had more people going into the community, which was good because at that particular time, and, you know, people moved into the hospitals to help and into the nursing home, community services like Anzac Day. And, of course, you didn't have to be ordained to do some, you know, preach and lead services and also do funerals, which were important. So that gave us a lot of scope, but also there had to be a lot of unity and a lot of meetings and good enablers.
At Easter 2017, Tasmania still faces a lot of challenges, but the new Bishop of Hobart, the Right Reverend Richard Condy, is hopeful.
Well, I think my predecessor, John Harrower, was here for 15 years, and I think his very first synod address was "Let the flowers bloom," and he wanted to see people experiment and try new things, and that's great heritage to step into now, 15 years later, because the place is really opened up to experiment and to try new things. What I'm trying to do is recover the ancient practice of disciple making. Making disciples of Jesus. It's Jesus' commission to us in Matthew 28, and I'm sure Bishop John, that was his desire too, but I'm, I guess, putting a new edge on that and calling us forward to the future.
Anglican Bishop of Hobart, Richard Condy, speaking there with Rachel Conn. And that report from Rachel is really by way of preview for what's coming up on The Spirit of Things this Sunday at 6, when you can hear much more about the resurrected parish churches of Tasmania. It's a perfect story for Easter Sunday, really, isn't it? That's The Spirit of Things, Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on RN.